I am Planta on the Line. This is the commentary.ca. Jim Lynch is the author of a new novel, Border Songs. It's described as a big-hearted, satirical portrait of a time and place that is also an extraordinary love story and a celebration of the coincidental and the miraculous. Brandon Vanderkoop is the book's main character. He's a tall and unlikely law enforcement officer, what with his unusual solitary disposition. But he's good at thwarting marijuana traffickers that traverse the Canada-U.S. border. Jim Lynch's first novel, The Highest Tide, was an international bestseller and prize winner. He's a former journalist, and he lives in Olympia, Washington. The book is published by Knopf. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Jim Lynch. Good morning, Mr. Lynch.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. What sort of guy is Brandon Vanderkoop?
He's a very unusual guy in that he's 6'8". He's highly dyslexic. He's a fanatic about birds, and he may have a pitch of autism in him. He has an easier time understanding animal behavior than human behavior, and he kind of has a unique look at things, which is what I found useful with him as pretty much the central character of the book.
What do you think a unique look at things, what we can learn from that?
Well, I think that this book is set in the post 9/11 border country of the 30 western miles of the border there, and it was such a tense, odd time where people's imagination were stretching things even beyond what real fears there were. And so it just seemed nice and refreshing to have somebody who really isn't cluttered up with the emotions of the time and just is a guy that who thinks in pictures, as dyslexics and autistics often talk about, and who just sees things very clearly. His vision is not clouded with emotion and so on.
The relationship with birds is what? He's just fascinated by them, I guess.
Well, he is, and it also kind of grew out of my research for the novel that that Border Patrol agents have a heck of a lot of time on their hands. You know, when they're traversing this strip of the border, and when I was up there riding around with them, I just kept noticing all the migratory birds and the variety of birds, and it just struck me as an ingredient of the setting, and making him a birder, was a way to kind of tie the character with the place.
Are you a bird watcher?
I'm more of a bird watcher than I was before I started writing the novel. I hung out with a lot of the best birders who live along the border, and I just found their perspective on life kind of interesting, as well as the fact that I love their ability to filter everything else out and just see and hear birds. And so it kind of struck me as, it had metaphorical power, too.
Now, the research you did for the book involved what? You mentioned riding around with border agents. Was that a job you would enjoy doing?
No, it definitely wouldn't be a job I'd enjoy doing, but I'm not really designed for law enforcement, period. But I thought that it was essential to ride around with these agents because they're the ones that see the border, at all different hours, and they're the ones that see the underbelly of the crime that does go on near the border. And so I found them, instructive. But then to kind of flesh out the story, I also, since it's dairy farming country, I spent a lot of time with dairy farmers, and particularly one, and I learned a lot about what it would mean to run a family farm and basically be responsible for your cows 7 days a week, twice a day.
Does the research that a journalist does differ from that of a novelist?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. I just know the way I do it, and in some ways, as a journalist, you're so ultimately bound by all the facts that you gather. And so what I do with novel writing is I do similar intensity of research, but I get to mix my imagination in with it. And so what I essentially did with Border Songs is I tell a real tall tale, but I try to pack it with so much realism and good reporting, that it helps you believe it, that it feels real.
And I suppose the journalism experience that you've had, that informs the novelist.
Well, I think so, because most novelists are, you know, come up through the Masters of Fine Arts route. And that wasn't me. I had a BA in journalism and got out and did that for a long time and always wrote short stories and novels on the side trying to figure out how to write fiction. I come at it from a slightly different angle. And I think journalism is a nice background for novelists in that it allows you to write beyond what you know, because there are real limitations to if you just can write about what you already know.
Did you always want to be a novelist? Like, did you grow up thinking that this would be what you wanted to do?
Yeah, I pretty much always wanted to be a fiction writer. And journalism in some ways felt like a detour, even though I came to love journalism too. But ever since my teacher read Where the Red Fern Grows to me in third grade, it struck me as authors are the magicians that I admire.
What led you to journalism?
Realizing that there's no way that I could come right out of college and write fiction, at least for a living, and I didn't want to teach, and so it was a way to keep writing. And then I actually found journalism to be, you know, wonderfully challenging and exciting, and it saddens me to see the way the whole newspaper industry is collapsing.
Especially in your state, right?
Yeah, well, clearly. I mean, we just lost the Seattle PI, and everybody's shrinking.
When it comes to the novel writing, what comes first for you, the character, the setting, the story, perhaps?
Well, I think I'm a little unusual in that I think setting does drive my fiction. It did with my first novel, The Highest Tide. You know, I was obsessed with South Puget Sound, and so I, you know, waited until a premise came to me to set a novel there, and I knew that the next one would be set up on the border, but I didn't really know exactly what it would entail and where it would go. And so for me, it was fun when I got to the point of writing border songs when I saw that a light satirical tone, you know, through stretches of the novel would actually help, and that it wouldn't be a suspense novel per se, that it would be fun.
Now, when you're out on this book tour as you are now, do you notice things about where you are and the sort? Did you take that for the next book, perhaps?
I collect everything I possibly can and jot it down in my notebook, and everything from overheard conversation to ways to describe a building or anything. So it kind of comes with the turf if I'm going to try to continue to do this. That I need all the momentum and input I can get. So I hoard information and hope that it will have a place in the next one.
Do you write on book tour?
I hope to. I'm just starting out now. I'm just getting ready for a big U.S. tour, and so the last go round I didn't. I just kind of found touring itself a little overwhelming. But this time I hope to, because I'd like to get my mind off it during the day, at least for a few hours, and just immerse myself in the next book.
Now, you live in Olympia, Washington. How often do you cross the border?
Well, by boat or car, I cross at least a few times a year. So, you know, 2 to 4 times a year, probably.
Since
I was actually writing this novel, it's been more. I mean, in the last 5 years, it's been more like a dozen times a year.
Do you think that the border is evolving? And I mean, you mentioned it earlier that it's changed a lot after September 11th. Do you think it's evolving our conception of it?
Well, I think that it's the border is a real cyclical beast, in that especially just from the American side for a second, it's the border Americans forget about entirely, and then suddenly get reminded of, and then get alarmed that it's so wide open and unguardable, essentially. And I think Canada goes through its own kind of cycles on it. So what strikes me is bizarre is that we're on this cycle now where we're requiring passports both directions, and it's almost as if the border is getting increasingly more bolstered, at a time where much of the rest of the world seems to be relaxing its borders. you know, France and Germany, you can drive right across without checking in. So it seems to me that the pendulum has swung towards this desire for hypersecurity, and that it's going to swing back here in a while.
Do you find that because you and I live close to the border that people like us are more inclined to cross it than people that, say, live in the middle of the country?
Well, I think definitely so, and I think that I think, you know, one fundamental difference between the two countries is that that 90% of Canadians live within 100 miles of the border, and 90% of Americans don't. And so, for most Americans, it's not a border they think about cross other than when they hear alarming reports about how easy allegedly it is to get into Canada for immigrants.
Now, do you think Americans will read this book differently than Canadians? Do you think they'll get stuff out of it that perhaps we will, or we won't?
Well, I think that there's definitely going to be a different read, and so I just was in Toronto and I went to a book club there, and it was funny and amusing to listen to, but I think the border is just more of an intimate subject for Canadians, and so I think Canadians have an opinion on the border, whereas most Americans, I think, will be reading it, you know, as entertainment, even though it does have, you know, kind of some provocative political angles to it.
When you were with border patrol agents, did you ever see a marijuana bust?
No, I actually never witnessed one, but I did go into the storage lockers where they had all the seized marijuana, you know, packed from floor to ceiling, and that was entertaining in its own right.
Now, back to the book for just a sec. Madeleine Rousseau, she's another character in the book, and I guess she's sort of Brandon's love interest, is she?
Right. I mean, he's kind of too simple and innocent for it to be a love interest, but it's definitely, he's looking for some human warmth from her, yeah.
And she's the Canadian, right?
Correct.
How do you come up with a name like Brandon Vanderkoop?
That's a good question. How do I come up with a name like Brandon Vanderkoop? Well, I was wandering around in the cemetery there in Linden looking for a good Dutch name, and I came across all these Vander Kooys, K-O-O-I, and so I went online and found that a lot of Vander Kooys had changed their name to Vanderkool just for American pronunciation, and I liked having a name that sounded something like very cool. And so, yeah, that's the story behind that name.
Jim, it's been a pleasure talking to you today, and congratulations on this book. I'll look forward to reading it.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate you taking the time to do this.
You're very welcome. The book is called Border Songs. It's published by Knopf. Jim Lynch on the line. I'm Joseph Planta.